Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Well, good morning, Three Creeks Church. My name is Cody McManaway. I get to be an elder here at Three Creeks, and I have the privilege today of taking us through our next installment in the series, Faith That Works. That's our summer series here at Three Creeks, where we're going verse by verse through the book of James. And when Joel first asked me if I would take a week in the series, I immediately said yes. I said James might be my favorite book in the Bible. I would love to take a week in that series. My excitement faded a little bit when I learned that I would be preaching immediately after Steph. That seems like I drew the short straw there. If you haven't heard her message, please go find it on the podcast. It's fantastic. Steph is great. And she really started us off really well in James chapter 3. And so hope to build on her momentum, carry the torch. That was an Olympics joke, I don't know. That she handed to me. But when I told Joel that I love the book of James, I realized I never really stopped to consider why that is. And so I wanted to distill it into a couple bullet points. And the first is that James is kind of short. It's only 5 chapters. And so it's a pretty easy read and even manageable in one sitting, which I definitely like. But maybe on a more serious note, James is just loaded with practicality and has all these very simple instructions for living a godly life. And I'm a pretty simple guy. I like things to be black and white. And so these very, very straightforward instructions certainly appeal to me. But it also is filled with all these truths and these themes that we see just littered throughout the Bible. And so it feels like James almost pulls together all these different things from the Bible and puts it into this kind of almost like a Cliff Notes instruction manual. And I just love James, and so I'm excited to hop into James 3 today. We're going to be talking about wisdom and differentiating between godly wisdom, or wisdom that comes from heaven, and earthly wisdom, and how those two look different from each other. But before we really jump into this passage, I want you to just bear with me for a second and do something for me, if you don't mind. If you want to close your eyes, you can do that. You don't have to. Imagine in your head the wisest person in your life. Or when I say, who embodies wisdom in your life, who comes to mind? Maybe this is a friend or a coworker or a parent or grandparent. Maybe it's a fictional character from a book or a movie. I grew up reading Harry Potter, so I think Dumbledore is pretty reasonable for this person. But once you have that person in your mind, just think about this person and think about what are the words that they say? What are phrases you hear them say? What are decisions that you've seen them make? Or maybe, more importantly, what are decisions you've seen them not make? Effectively, I'm asking, what is it about their lives that makes you say that they have wisdom? How do they carry themselves? What's their attitude? What's their posture? How do they treat those around them? We're going to see how James lays out what godly wisdom looks like, and we'll compare it to these attributes we kind of come up with in our minds for those around us that we think are wise. But one main idea I want to really guide our conversation today is that godly wisdom is from God and for others. And so let's just get right into the passage. We're in James chapter 3, and we are looking at verses 13 through 18. So it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. All right, we're going to really split this up into three sections. We're going to look at verse 13. We'll look at 14 through 16 together, and then we'll end with 17 and 18. So starting with 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it. So the first thing we observe is that godly wisdom has evidence. We should see it in the actions of those around us, or we should see it in our own actions if we have it. Let him show it. Godly wisdom is not something that's meant to be contained and kept within. It's meant to be shared. And that's why I said godly wisdom is from God, but for others. Godly wisdom is a gift that God bestows on us for the benefit of those around us. And I was thinking about this, like, what would it look like for somebody to have godly wisdom but not impart it on the people in their lives? And it made me think of a quote. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but something to the effect of, the one who does not read has no advantage over the one who cannot read. And it just made me think, that's what it would look like. If you have a skill and an ability that you're not putting to use, if you have godly wisdom, you're not benefiting those around you with it, what point is there of even having it? What is the good in that? So our first point, kind of a sub-bullet point under our main idea here, is that godly wisdom is active. We've called this series Faith That Works. And there's this theme of action through all these verses. And this idea of godly wisdom is no different. There's this underlying theme of action and putting our godly wisdom into work, into action. The next thing I want to draw our attention to is this idea of humility. And I mentioned that James really pulls together all these different themes and ideas from around the Bible. And humility is a great example of this. In Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death." We shouldn't be surprised that the pursuit of godly wisdom is really the pursuit of God himself, and that the attributes that we should see in godly wisdom are the attributes of God. And humility is a perfect encapsulation of that idea. When we are pursuing godly wisdom, we are pursuing Christ. When it says, "Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done, in the humility that comes from wisdom." I think oftentimes we can get this idea of humility kind of mixed up in 2024, where the humility that we're talking about here in the Bible is not like a humble brag. Or if you have to say, "I'm so humble," like, that's not a humble thing to say, first of all. We have this incredible example from Jesus himself of what it looks like to be humble. Do you think that you yourself, that you are genuinely humble? I think I like to hope that I am, but I know that I'm not acing this one. I know that I'm not batting 1,000. But we look at Jesus, who was fully God, and he humbled himself to become a man, to take the punishment that we deserved for our sins, though he himself was sinless. It's the ultimate example of humility. And that's a very important component of godly wisdom. There's another thing I want to point out quickly. In the very first line, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" This word, understanding, at least for me, when I read through this verse, it's easy for me to just kind of gloss over that and just keep reading. I kind of see this as the same thing, like, oh, wise and understanding, let's move on to the next verse. But I want to stop and think about this for a second. What does it mean to actually be understanding? I think this idea of understanding and humility are tied to one another. When we are humble enough to truly see others as above ourselves, only then are we able to listen to others. And only when we are able and willing to listen to others are we able to understand. And that understanding contributes to attaining godly wisdom. This kind of beautiful circle. It's this like self-reinforcing, but also kind of layers building upon layers of humility, leading to understanding, leading to wisdom. But then even in this verse, it says the humility that comes from wisdom. So it's almost as if you pursue wisdom, you're going to find humility. And if you find humility or you pursue humility, you're going to find godly wisdom. It's kind of this circle. I kind of get in my own head if I think about it too much, but it's this beautiful picture. So the pursuit of godly wisdom really starts with humility, and it also results in humility. Let's move on to the second third here. We're going to look at 14 through 16. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Anybody in here have envy? Anybody in here not have envy? How about this? Does anybody in here have Instagram or Facebook or just friends in general, or family, or peers, or coworkers? Does anybody see good things happening to other people? I think it's easy for us to say, we're so happy you got that house. We're so happy you got that job. We're so happy this happened to you or that happened to you. But on the inside, if we're being honest with ourselves, we are envious. Maybe somebody at work got the promotion or the raise, or maybe they got the job that you interviewed for that you thought you deserved that they got. I have been there, and I was talking to a mentor about this situation that was kind of just eating at me, and he said, comparison is the thief of joy. You ever heard that one? I've heard it a bunch of times since he mentioned it to me, but I think that was the first I'd ever heard it. Or at least it was the first time it really had an impact on me. And so I kind of sat with that idea and tried to digest it. Like, what does it mean to have something rob you of your joy? And the more I thought about it, the more I realized I had an envious heart. I had a heart that was full of envy. And a heart that's full of envy doesn't have room in it for the gratitude that we owe God. When we have envy in our hearts, we are saying, my life is incomplete because there's something that I desire that I think that I deserve. My life doesn't have this right now, and I think that I am owed this thing. But that's just not the case. That attitude doesn't look like a grateful attitude. That's not saying, I'm thankful for what God has given me. I have what I need. It's just the opposite. And when I think of, actually, that mentor is one of the people I think of when I imagine the wisest in my life. When I think of people like that, it's hard for me to imagine them having that attitude. I can't imagine the wisest people in my life saying, I deserve more that I don't have, and I am not content because I don't have it. That's not what godly wisdom looks like. And so struggling with that situation really had me key in on another verse that's outside of James, or another passage rather. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I'll be honest, I am envious this very day of somebody. somebody in this church. I don't think he's in the room right now. Josh Sinclair has something that I don't have. Man, this would be really dark if I was like saying something serious right now. He has an unbelievable golf game. Have you guys ever golfed with this guy? He is phenomenal. He hit this shot. I mean, we played 6 weeks ago. I think I've thought about this shot every day since. I can't stop thinking about Josh and Claire's approach shot on the back nine. It was just phenomenal. All right, I had to lighten the mood a little bit. We were pretty serious there for a while, but that's kind of a silly example. But it's easy to get caught up in what other people have that we don't have, that we think we deserve. That's not what godly wisdom looks like. So these middle verses in this passage kind of lay out what godly wisdom is not. So let's get back into what godly wisdom is in verses 17 through 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. All right, so there's this idea of peace. And godly wisdom is peaceful. Think back to that person you imagined earlier as embodying what it means to be wise. Are they resentful? Are they confrontational? Or do they exhibit peace in their lives? These verses make the case that if you are pursuing godly wisdom, you're pursuing peace. Because if you're pursuing godly wisdom, you are pursuing God himself, and God is peace. We see this in a lot of verses. We're going to jump around a good bit right here. We'll start in Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. We'll look next at Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Let's look next at Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. And then lastly here, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. So these verses make it pretty clear. We are called to be peaceful as believers, as the body of Christ, because Christ himself is peace. These verses literally say, Lord of peace, peace of Christ, because godly wisdom is peaceful. I keep coming back to this idea that godly wisdom should look like God. I mean, that just makes sense. It's very literal. But if it looks like God, then we should expect to see the attributes of God in this idea of godly wisdom. And if God is peace, godly wisdom should be peaceful. I love this passage. I think it's this beautiful confluence of peace and wisdom and humility. Like I mentioned, they're kind of like these self-reinforcing ideas that as you pursue one, you find the other, and as you pursue the other, you find the next one, and they kind of build on each other. And I like when the Bible lays out these lists of adjectives. And in this one it says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and good fruit, impartial, sincere. And I heard someone years back do this exercise. I think it was the passage in Corinthians about love, and love is this and love is that, where they said, take the word love and put a blank there, and in that blank, put your own name. So I want to encourage us to do that today. So when we see the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, let's just cross that out and put our own names in this statement. I'll start with myself. Cody is first of all pure, and then see if that statement holds true. I really hope nobody has fast-forwarded in the podcast to hear me just say Cody is pure. And they're like, this guy's just talking in third person his whole message? Like, that's probably not cool. But I don't know if I'm pure. I think I like to think that I am. I think I try to be. But this really isn't for ourselves to determine. This is up to those around us. When they see the lives that we lead, when they see the words we say, the decisions we make, the way we interact with them, the way we build others up around us or tear them down. This is for the people in your life to determine. And all we can do is control our own actions and hope that we are achieving these things. So start with purity. Are you pure? Are you peace-loving? Cody is peace-loving. I don't know if that's true. Again, I think it sounds good. I think I like to believe that I'm peace-loving. But then why do I not shy away from confrontation and from conflict and argument? Why am I not seeking peace in every situation if I'm actually peace-loving? Consider it. Am I considerate? I think sometimes. I don't know. These are tough. These are convicting, at least for me. And like the passage that Jeff read before we got into it today, talked about it, just said, get wisdom. Get wisdom. It's in the Bible. Pursue wisdom. We should be pursuing godly wisdom. I think the first step in this pursuit of godly wisdom is intentionality. We see all of these themes from the Bible mentioned frequently and fervently. It seems to be important, humility and being peaceful and having an active godly wisdom. These are things we see throughout the Bible. If they're important enough to mention in the Bible so many times, they're probably important enough for us to pursue with intentionality. So I want to encourage you today to look at this list and seriously consider, are you checking the box on any of these? Maybe some of them. Just stop and consider, which of these am I falling short on? Which of these am I, I'm doing okay. I'm trying my best. I'm coming up short. We're all going to do that. But I'm at least trying. That intentionality is where we start here. So godly wisdom is from God for others. It is active. It is humble. It is peaceful. I feel like a broken record, but godly wisdom should look like God. And if it looks like God, it should have the attributes of God. So we shouldn't be surprised to see humility and peacefulness accompany this idea of wisdom that comes from heaven. So we've got a couple reflection questions that we'll put up on the screen. And I want us just to really sit in these for a minute and consider them seriously. Is godly wisdom something you've ever stopped and really considered? Is godly wisdom something you've ever stopped and really considered? Unless I'm reading James 3, I don't know that I've stopped and considered it. I know that it took having a message that I was supposed to give to be the catalyst to make me even stop and consider it. So let today be that catalyst for you. Stop and consider, what does godly wisdom in my life look like? Am I the person that comes to mind for somebody else in their life when they stop and think about who is wise in their life? Who exhibits this humility, this understanding, this peacefulness that accompanies godly wisdom? And then next, what are the key characteristics of godly wisdom that you struggle with? What tangible actions could you take to improve these and authentically pursue godly wisdom? Like the rest of James, this is kind of a really dense passage. Part of why I like James so much. It's just five chapters, hits you in the face, hits you with truth. There's always something to take away. There's always something new that I find when I read through it because there's just so much packed into these verses. And there's so much packed into this passage. So what is it about this passage that stands out to you? What's something that you need to sit in for a little while and authentically pursue and challenge yourself in? Where are you falling short in all these lists and these lists of attributes? So let's sit with these reflection questions for a minute. We'll have our prayer team in the back. If you have questions about this passage, or maybe just what it means to be a Christian, maybe today you're hearing this and it's in one ear out the other because you haven't really made the decision to pursue Christ in your life and to accept him into your heart as your Savior, the prayer team would love to talk with you. I would love to talk with you. Find somebody at Three Creeks Central afterwards. We'd love to have that conversation. Or if you want to pray with somebody, you're struggling with something today, or you want to give praise to God for something and you want to pray with somebody about that, our prayer team is back there. Let them be a resource because we're not meant to do this alone. And so the prayer team is there for you because we're supposed to do this as a community, as a team. Godly wisdom is from God and for others. We're going to play a little bit more music here, and then the prayer team will be available throughout the end of service. We had kind of a crazy morning. We were supposed to do communion. Is communion still happening? All right, we didn't get to talk too much before service. I hope you couldn't tell, but we do have tables set up for taking communion. This is for the believer who says, I am mindfully reflecting on what God has done in my life, what God is doing in my life, and what I'm trusting he will continue to do. So take a minute, prayerfully consider what these words mean to you. My prayer today was that these were not my words, that these were God's words for you all. But prayerfully consider what godly wisdom looks like, what these reflection questions look like in your life, and what it means to have grateful hearts and to not have hearts that are full of envy, but full of gratitude for what Christ has done for us and that he has given us everything we could ever ask for or imagine, but most importantly, anything that we can need.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.